Welcome to Community Connections. I'm here for the next 3 hours today. First of all, we're going to talk to a lady that you've heard from before. Then between 1 and 2, we've got Hutchinson Legal coming in to answer a whole lot of legal questions and pose a few more. And then between 2 and 3, we've got Jennifer from the Red Cross coming in to talk to us as well. But first of all, we're here to talk to Saskia. Now, Saskia is with a group called Forever Friends. They adopt dogs and cats, and they do all sorts of things. So we're going to be talking to Saskia about it. So first of all, welcome, Saskia.
Thank you, Alan. Great to be back.
It's good to have you back too. Now, there's one thing I want to cover just before we get started, and I didn't give you a chance to warn you this, but I know Christmas coming up, a lot of people want to adopt dogs, and that's terrific. But one of the things that I've heard is some people adopt them for a friend and then they give them as a Christmas present to people that don't really want them. Is that a problem?
Yeah, it does happen. I think it's happening less than it used to because there's a bit more awareness now that you absolutely can't just hand someone a pet for Christmas because it's a 15-year commitment often, isn't it, with a dog. Yep. Or a cat. So we're very careful screening our potential adopters just to make sure that everyone who's involved in the decision is willing and able.
Yeah, that's just something I wanted to get off the chest, I guess, straight away, because I have heard of people gifting or adopting a dog or buying a dog. It's not even just adopting them, buying a dog, giving them to a friend, and the friend after 3 months says, I don't want this, and that poor animal just gets dumped, and that's just not fair to the animal. It's not fair to anybody. They're better off to go to a home where they're really wanted.
Absolutely, yeah. That first 3 months, they're often a cute little fluffy puppy, and then suddenly they're not anymore. So, and that's when groups like mine have to pick up the pieces.
And I guess one of the dogs don't change a heap. The cats do, though, don't they? Everybody loves a little kitten. And then you get a cat that's 2 or 3 years old, they're big, and then they aren't the fluffy little ball that they were.
Yeah, kittens are only kittens for such a short period of time. Goodness, they grow quickly.
Now, first of all, for the people, I know we've had you in before and a lot of the listeners will have heard what you do, but first of all, just tell us very briefly what Forever Friends are and what they do.
Sure. Well, Forever Friends Animal Rescue is almost an entirely volunteer-run group that I founded in 2011.
Which doesn't get any government funding, does
no
it?
No government funding at all. We do apply for grants where we can get them, but they're few and far between. So we rely on the goodwill of the public, of private donors, and just trying to make ends meet like every other charity at the moment. It's a huge challenge.
And no doubt you've got a huge feed bill.
Yes, lots of hungry mouths to feed, but we are very lucky to have quite a lot of dog and cat food donated by some of our great partners at Pet Stock and some of the other pet stalls, which is really good. But we always need more kitten food, I have to say. We're coming up to kitten season.
Yep.
So we're always needing cat food and kitten food, cat litter. Yes, there's lots of little kittens being born at the moment.
Do they, when they're born, or how do you get those? Do you find them that people are dumping them, or do you find that people are bringing them into you?
So we work primarily directly with pounds and shelters. So the RSPCA, for example, or a country pound will give us a call and say, do you have room for this mum and litter of her bubs, or do you have room for this particular dog who's just being dumped? So primarily we take them off death row, as we call it, animals who are in the absolute last hours of need. So
when you say there are the last hours of need, it's not necessarily because, well, there's often nothing wrong with them, is it? It's just that the vets, pounds only keep them so long, don't they, before they have to do something.
That's correct. So if you have a stray pet, your dog or cat goes missing legally, that pound or shelter only has to keep them for 8 days.
So,
So after 8 days, if you haven't come forward to claim your pet, euthanasia, or as I prefer to call it sometimes, killing happens.
Well, that's what it is.
It is. Euthanasia is merciful death, and often these dogs and cats that we're trying to save are healthy, great temperament, so they certainly shouldn't be dying in our pounds and shelters. So groups like mine step in and ask to take any of the animals in need and see if we can give them any medical behaviour rehab that they need. And then we find them forever homes with really well-suited people who will hopefully have them, you know, the rest of their lives.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back more to talk to Saskia. Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Saskia from Forever Friends. Now, Saskia, you very briefly walked over the fact that you started this charity or organisation in 2011. First of all, what made you do it? And obviously, did you fund the whole of the startup yourself?
So my inspiration was a little dog called Ned, and Ned came to me from Mildura Pound, and he was a little Jack Russell Foxy. And at that point, like most of, I think most Australians, I did not know how many dogs and cats we were killing in our pounds and shelters behind closed doors.
Right.
Healthy animals of good temperament. And when I fostered Ned for another organisation, and I saw what a great little guy he was, you know, gentle and loving, I just thought, this is appalling that, you know, just a few hours before this, he was on death row and he might not have made it out alive. Yep. So Ned changed my life, and I was working at Penguin Books at the time. I was an editor. It was a job I really loved. But I decided I wanted to do more to help more animals like Ned. So I gave up the day job and got some other friends together and started Forever Friends. And, yeah, we bankrolled it ourselves to begin with. And then over the years, yeah, we've just been really lucky to attract the support of, you know, kindred spirits, people with, you know, compassion and kindness for animals who, you know, don't want to see the suffering that we are seeing.
Well, that's terrific. So, and you've funded a lot of this as you've gone through life, haven't you? I mean, obviously you've picked up some sponsors, you said, but a lot. It's not only the sponsorship. A lot of the, I guess, the money in the early stages just come out of your own pocket.
That's correct. Yeah, my husband Ez and I bought 100 acres at Gladysdale 6 years ago, and so we've invested all of our savings into that property, which we've developed into an animal sanctuary. So we've got a kennels and a cattery there and a stables and, gosh, lots of different species of animals, from, you know, chickens to former racehorses to cats and dogs. So we try and care for everything that we can as best we can.
All right. So the first thing is, if I remember rightly, when we were in last time, you were building or having something where you could have veterinary, a better veterinary on site. Is that done yet, or...?
Yeah, we've got visiting vets and vet nurses, which is fantastic, and the animals can, you know, get everything they need attended to on the property. So, you know, if they come in with illness, whether it's, you know, kittens with ringworm or cat flu, we can have those attended to by a wonderful organisation that we are partnering with called Vets for Compassion. And Vets for Compassion was founded by Dr. Elaine Onn, who used to be of Borwin Vet. And she's created this incredible group of people who give their time and, you know, experience and qualifications to help, you know, animals in need. A lot of native animals as well, but domestic animals too. So we're really lucky to partner with Vets for Compassion.
Now, we've talked about cats and dogs. But you also take in a lot of other types of animals too, don't you?
Yeah, so we try and help every species that is in need. We've even rehomed goldfish for somebody and a huntsman spider. So a bit of everything.
Yeah. Now, you said a rehome, or you've got an ex-racehorse. How did you get that?
Yeah, look, a lot of racehorses who are deemed not fast enough or too old, you know, we do hear horror stories about what happens to them. Fortunately, some end up in the right hands, and we have adopted a few racehorses who came off the track who had, you know, racing injuries, so they weren't rideable anymore. So normally their fate is pretty grim.
Yeah.
But we've been glad to bring a few of them to our sanctuary and give them just the love and care they need. They are up for adoption, but a lot of people only want a horse they can ride, which is a bit sad because horses make wonderful companions, just like a dog or a cat.
Do they?
They do. They really do.
To be honest, I thought that's what you did with a horse. You rode them.
Yeah, we all automatically think about an animal in terms of what they can do for us or what we can do with them. But, yeah, horses are becoming more and more recognised as fantastic therapy animals.
Yeah, one of the union leaders, I think he was he caused a lot of trouble to a union leader, but he's gone on now, and I don't want to go sidetrack from what we're talking about, but he takes ex-soldiers and that are really damaged, and he reckons that they horses do a terrific lot for them.
Oh, I think that's true, and teenagers are experiencing mental illness and disabled people. Horses just seem to have this really calming energy, and I can really feel it when I'm around them. Even though they're big, they can be flighty, they do really, I think, tune into us and how we're feeling, and we do see some beautiful relationships develop between horses.
I've got a friend of mine, and I haven't seen him for a few years now, and he's a solicitor, so, and he's got a little country property, and he's got a horse, and his horse has got to the stage where he can't ride it, but he puts the lead on and he takes it down the street for a walk and brings it back again.
Oh, that's great.
Just like you were taking a cat. I saw him one day. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'll take him for a walk." And he's in a big paddock. Like, he's got his own paddock. But he said, "No, he gets sick of that." So he said, not bridle him up, but...
halter.
Mm. Yeah, and he said, "I'll take him
off
down the street and walk back again."
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Way out west,
talking to Saskia from Forever Friends, and this is they're here in the Yarra Valley, and they look after, first of all, they take all these animals, as Saskia was saying, that are basically on death row in the pounds, and they try and take them all, and some of them they keep for some time, and if they can, they like to rehome them or put them into foster homes and all sorts of things. But Saskia, one of the things that I know you do, but you haven't mentioned yet, is that a lot of these animals don't get brought to you. You travel all over the state at times picking up these animals, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. We also get a lot of requests from members of the public who can no longer care for their pets. And while we don't have the capacity to take every animal in, we do make room wherever we can. For example, if someone's going into a nursing home and their beloved dog or cat can't go with them, we like to assist those people, because that's a really tragic circumstance for both the owner and the animal. Yep. So we drive all over the place. Yeah, I've got an incredible network of transport volunteers, and we're always looking for more people to help out with that sort of thing too.
I was going to ask you, but you, like, you've travelled as far as Mildura and that, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and even New South Wales. We focus on Victorian pounds and shelters, but occasionally we go over the border as well. But there's a lot of country pounds up, you know. We do a weekly run to Mildura, Swan Hill, yeah, down the river there.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I guess the biggest pet you pick up is horses from time to time, isn't it? That'd be your biggest pet.
Yeah, though we have a couple of gorgeous rescue steers at the sanctuary who are probably about 1.2 tonnes worth. So, yeah, there's all shapes and sizes.
So you get volunteers who are prepared to give up their time and obviously running and that, to go and pick up these animals as far as Mildura. So you go up to Mildura every week, do you?
Yeah, it's a connection. It's a group of volunteers who bring them down from as far as Mildura, Swan Hill and so on. So a lot of rescue groups will take on those animals from those pounds. It's not just us. So it's great to work in partnership with quite a number of other rescues in the state.
Yeah, no, that's terrific, because, and obviously, as you just said, you're always looking for volunteers to do some of this too, aren't you?
That's right. Particularly local retirees, I might add, at the sanctuary. We have found older people who are local are more likely to commit and to keep coming back. So we've got a lot of opportunities at the sanctuary for volunteers, from dog walking to cat cuddlers to people to help us build more things like animal enclosures. So we love to welcome anyone with any skill level.
I was just going to ask you that. Do you require any sort of skill level? You don't. You'll basically use anybody. You'll find them a job, won't you?
I will find everyone a job, yes. Yeah. And even just to come and, you know, literally cuddle a dog or a cat, just give them some comfort and companionship.
Who might come and do that? Just come into the sanctuary?
Correct, yeah.
And we spend time with them?
We do. We've got some wonderful people who have special needs. So they might be in a wheelchair. They love animals. They can't take them for a walk, but they can give them a cuddle. And that makes a big difference to some of our animals who, you know, are waiting, you know, often months for a foster home or an adoptive home. So it makes a real difference to them.
Now, the next question is, and you've just touched on it, so how, you foster some out, don't you? That's not necessary for a long time, is it? Like, it's just because to get them out of your place and into a home. But so I guess, A, are you always looking more for foster homes? And B, then after they've been to the foster home, do they stay there until a forever person comes along?
Yeah, so the best thing for any dog or cat is to be in a home. Yep. So we prefer them to be in, you know, with a foster care wherever possible instead of at the shelter with us. And that's where we get to know the animal as well, because it's hard to get to know a dog or a cat who's in a cage all day. And we want to know how they are with other animals and with children and so on. So foster homes are just vital. And we're always looking for carers, whether it even just be respite carers for a weekend to take a dog for a couple of days.
Like you could, pardon me, somebody could come along, because not everybody somebody has the time or the want to have someone there so they can just come along for a
weekend. Short-term care is fantastic. It gets a dog out of the shelter who they can even just get to know over a couple of days. They can, find out for us, how are they in the car? Are they house-trained? Do they like to sleep inside? That gives us really good information that helps us then find that dog or cat the right home.
So they stay in the foster home then until you can find have a home.
That's the ideal, yeah. If a foster carer can commit, for some weeks or months, that's fantastic, because the less the animals moved around, the better. We don't want to be constantly stressing them out, going from home to home. So we do mostly, hope that foster carers can commit for those weeks or months. But short-term care, emergency care and respite care are really important too.
So when you're talking about those carers, you're talking mainly dogs and cats?
Yes, so we do welcome pocket pet carers as well. We love people who might have some experience with rabbits or guinea pigs.
What do you call them, pocket?
Pocket pets.
Why do you call them pocket pets? Because they're so small.
It's a new phrase for the smallies, yeah. Not that I think we should carry them around in pockets, but yeah, that's what they're often referred to these days, pocket pets.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. You know I'm pleasure bound.
Well, go on down to Jackson. Go ahead and wreck your hill. Go play your hand, your big talking man, and make a big fool of yourself. Yeah, yeah, go to Jackson. Make go comb that hair.
I'm going to snowball. Jackson.
Go ahead and see if I care.
When I breeze into that city, people gonna stoop and bow. All those women gonna beg me, teach them what they don't know how. I'm going to Jackson. You turn loose in my coat. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson.
Goodbye, that's all she wrote.
Fire went out, we're going to Jackson, and that's a matter of fact. Yeah, we're going to Jackson, ain't never coming back. Yeah, we're going to Jackson, and that's a matter of fact. Yeah, we're going to Jackson, ain't never coming back. Yeah, we're going to Jackson. Ain't never coming back.
3FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
So, Saskia, I guess, like, you've got these animals coming in all the time from the various pounds and that. So I guess you don't want to actually keep them all, do you? And apart from fostering them out for a while, you really want them to go to forever homes. A, so that you haven't got them there all the time, but more importantly for the little animals. So what's the process? If we've got someone listening today and they think, yeah, maybe I could. And again, we've got to stress that if you're going to take on a dog or a cat, give it a lot of thought. Don't try and adopt if you're not really feeding them. You know, and pets can cost a bit of money, but you need to give it a really good thought. But all right, so now we've warned everybody, and so somebody says, well, I still want to adopt a dog. So how do they go about it, Saskia?
Well, the first thing we normally tell people to do is to jump onto our website, which is foreverfriends.org.au. foreverfriends.org.au, and we've got a lot of our animals listed for adoption there: dogs, cats, rabbits, pigs, a couple pigs of ducks too. Yeah, piggies and horses and everything, so you can have a browse of who we're looking for homes for. But not all of our animals are online as yet, because we have more, perhaps, you know, 5-6 animals come into care every day of the week. So we also just welcome, you know, emails or phone calls from the community. You can tell us a bit about yourself and what you're looking for. So your lifestyle: I work part-time, I work full-time, and we can try and match you with the right pet for you.
Because some pets, dogs, don't mind being left by themselves during the day. Like, they just sleep and they're happy. But then you get the other dogs that are, I'd say, frisky, jumping around all the time. It's not fair to leave them by themselves for hours on end, is it?
That's right. But I do find I'm approached by a lot of people who work full-time who say they're really sad they can't have a pet. And I actually say, no, you can. I can find you the right match. And that every pet in a new home is another life saved. So, you know, older cats and older dogs are great for people that work full-time.
Well, I've got a little dog and I think he sleeps about 20 hours of the day, so I wouldn't worry him.
Exactly.
All right, so it's foreverfriends.org.au.
That's correct.
Hop on and have a look at the animals that are there, and if not, if there's not an animal that suits you, give them a ring and or send them flick them an email and see what they've got. But let's again talk about these volunteers, because without the volunteers, it's very hard to run your organisation. And you were saying, and I would agree with this, that probably the retirees are very good, because A, they want to fill in some of their time, they're used to working, they've usually got very good ethics. So give us a bit of a splurge now as to why a volunteer should come and talk to you, Saskia.
Oh, I would love to. Look, I think as we all get older, a lot of us perhaps think we don't have, you know, time for animals, or we worry that we're going to get sick and we can't look after them. So I do meet a lot of older people who don't have an animal in their life, and they really miss that. So if that's you, we would love you to come up to our sanctuary and we can give you an induction and a tour.
And you're in the Yarra Valley, aren't you?
Yeah, we're just up the road at Gladysdale near Yarra Junction. And there's so many different things retirees can do. We've got gardeners, we've got DIY people, we need more people to help in the cattery, the kennels, brushing horses, and we can suit everyone's skill level. We even, you know, have people who have, you know, really special needs who can't, you know, walk a dog, but they can cuddle them.
But I suppose the other thing is too, one of the sorts of volunteers you haven't talked about, what about dog walkers and that? Do you need dog walkers?
Yeah, we love dog walkers. We've actually got a retired man called Brendan who comes up, and he likes to train for his marathons.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he takes 4 dogs out of a morning, does 5 kilometres with each dog. And he looks at his Fitbit and measures his steps, and, yeah, that's his training. So if people want to get fit, that's another great way to do it.
Yeah, and get to know your neighbourhood too.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of our volunteers do end up falling in love with a dog or a cat at the sanctuary.
And, do they? And they're taking
them
home.
And you get to apply to adopt them. So it's a bit of a try before you buy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, there are a lot of people, not everybody knocks off work with some great plan as to what they're going to do. And I guess if you're sitting home today listening to us and you think, yeah, I could go up and give a few hours a week. Like, you're not asking to give 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, are you?
No, I would love that, but a couple of hours a week. Yeah, a couple of hours a week would be great. And we're a very warm, friendly bunch. And we don't, you know, pin anyone down to come religiously. We do just love to have any help that we can get.
Yeah. And, no, well, I've got to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with more. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have the people from Hutchinson Legal in to answer some last month's questions, and also they've brought some other things to talk about, and we'll send them away with something to come back next month. But at the moment, we're talking to Saskia for Forever Friends. They're up here in the Yarra Valley at Gladysdale. Something that you should mention, I think you've got a volunteers inductions coming up.
Yeah, on Sunday at 2 o'clock, we are doing a volunteer tour of the sanctuary and an induction for people that want to sign up and help out. So if anyone is interested, again, we like you to jump to the website and just flick us an email and say you want to come along to the induction, and our wonderful helper Margie will be in touch with you. So yeah, it's just foreverfriends.org.au. You can jump on there and let us know if you'd like to come up.
And I guess you should just stress again, you're not expecting people to commit themselves 7 days a week, 5 days a week, and, you know, from 6 in the morning till 6 at night. That'd be terrific, as you said.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality, and people don't have that sort of time to give. So I guess you can work around the hours they can come, can't you?
That's right. Yeah, some people like to come in the morning, couple of hours, and some people afternoon, so you can choose what time of day as well.
Well, you can't do much better than that, can you?
I don't think so. And we always have cakes and tea and coffee. And, yeah, we make sure we look after our volleys.
Sounds terrific. Now, I guess apart from the volunteers, like if you're going to start feeding horses and pigs and even little dog or bigger dogs, they chomp through the meals, I guess you're forever looking for either donations of food or financial donations, aren't you?
Yes, I'm afraid so. I know the cost of living crisis is biting everyone hard, but it's happening with charities as well. And we are a registered charity, which means we have deductible gift recipient status. So if anyone did want to make a contribution, big or small, you do get a tax receipt, which is great. But gifts in kind are wonderful too. As I said, we're always desperate for more kitten food. We're always desperate for more dog leads. We never have enough dog leads.
Yeah.
They break too often. Dog treats. We always need more dog treats to help us with the training. And anything and everything, pretty much. Dog beds, we never have enough of those either.
Can you use old blankets and that for the cats and that, or are they just more of a hindrance than a request?
We've probably run out of storage space at the moment for blankets and towels. We have had a lot of generosity from the community with blankets and towels, so probably not this time of year, but something to do with dog beds. I think a lot of the dogs like shredding them, so we never seem to have enough.
Welcome to the world.
Yeah.
Saskia, what's the most unusual animal you've had to go and pick up?
Oh, definitely the huntsman spider.
Why couldn't the person go and put them out themselves?
Oh, look, it is a funny story. They were scared of the huntsman spider.
Yeah.
So our wonderful Vice President Mari offered to go over to the house in Avonsley to collect the huntsman spider, and she was going to take it back to her place in Surrey Hills and release it in her shed, because I think they like to be indoors.
Yeah.
And this is a hilarious story. So Mari picked up the huntsman spider, put it in a Chinese container, and got back in her car with her little dogs and was tootling back towards Surrey Hills on Wellington Road, got pulled over by the police.
Yeah.
Who said, "You're driving an unregistered vehicle," which she wasn't aware of. And the policeman made her pull over, obviously, and wouldn't let her go home in the car. So she had to wait by the highway with her little dogs and her huntsman spider in the Chinese container on a really hot day by the side of the road and wait for her husband to go pick her up.
And just quickly tell us, you said that you had to rehome some goldfish.
Yeah, well, again, it was this was a couple in Pakenham. They were renovating the backyard, needed to pull out the fish pond. I think the grandkids were, you know, getting bigger and all the rest of it needed more space. So she asked if we could collect the goldfish and find them a new pond, which we did in Hawthorne. So they made it out safely as well.
So on something like that, you obviously even look for people to come and adopt goldfish.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a firm believer there is a home out there for every animal in need. It's just,
I'm not sure about the huntsman.
Well, he still made it back to Surrey Hills, so he did okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all right. So, look, if you're a retiree, it's sitting at home, you'd like something to do, like animals just give you unconditional love, there's no doubt about that. There's the opportunity. If you can't afford to have one, you can go up there and spend 2-3 hours a week, month, whatever you could, and become a volunteer. And also, if you've got a bit of money that at the moment, and I know times are tough and everybody's doing it tough, but if you can either buy a bit of some cat food or something like that for Forever Friends, or I guess if you could just donate some money, they've got benefactors that they can no doubt get special prices from, but you can't buy the stuff if you haven't got any money.
That's absolutely right.
Saskia, look, we wish you well. I mean, and we should also mention, apart from the fact that we've glossed over it a bit, this has really started off by your own finances, and I guess you continue to finance it along the line. If you can't get grants, then I guess you and your husband are funding it anyway.
Yeah, we do have to dig deep quite often, but I know that the rewards are well worth it. It's an absolute privilege to help some of these animals who are just desperate for love, and to watch them go from sometimes, you know, fear to joy, and start to wag their tail for the first time. Those are the rewards for the work we do. So it is well worth it.
Yeah, it is. That's for sure too. And I guess coming up, Christmas time is a busy time. Do you get, and I want to stress again that people should not go and try and adopt a dog or a cat for somebody else, because, you know, you've got, they might want to make a lifetime commitment to that animal. But do you find that there are some people who, I guess, are lonely, and that's when they start to really think about, hey, listen, I could have a dog myself?
Yeah, and we do think this time of year can be a good time to adopt, because if you're normally at work but you're at home over Christmas, New Year, that can be a good time to settle in a new dog or cat. So, yeah, don't be shy about applying this time of year if it's for you as opposed to someone else.
Well, it should be for yourself. So, again, your website?
foreverfriends.org.au, and I might give the phone number too for anyone that's not online.
Yep.
And that's 0412 618 718. 0412 618 718.
Right, so if you're a volunteer, if you've got some money, or if you genuinely want to adopt an animal, because, you know, they'll give you their heart, but you've got to give them something in return. You've got, you know, you've got to make a commitment to them. Dogs, and as Saskia was saying earlier, little kittens, they're really fluffy, but they don't stay a kitten too long.
No.
they come on as cats, and not everybody likes a full cat. So, you know, you really need to commit to these animals full time over the term of their life.
Correct, yeah.
As someone once said to me, you're their life. Like, an animal will, it's not like us. We're, you know, we pass on, but an animal will pass on before you. So if you get a pup, and I've had three, they'll be with you all their life, but and then they'll be gone.
Yeah, we are their everything, so it's a responsibility to take seriously.
And I think I said to you once, somebody once told me that a dog in particular can't look after itself. A cat can get in there and get some food. A dog can't.
Yeah, dogs really do rely on us for everything. Yeah.
Got to go, Saskia. Thank you for your time again, and we look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
No worries, thanks.